The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on May 17, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 7.
Taigi šiandien turiu skaitinę Šrimad Bhagavatam, ketvirtą giesmę, 22 skyrių, kuris vadinasi Maharaja Pritku susitinka su keturiais kumarais, 7 tekstą.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Pritruvacha.
Pritruvacha.
Aho acharitam kim me.
Aho acharitam kim me.
Mangalam mangalayana.
Mangalam mangalayana.
Yashyava darshanam hyasid. Tadarshanam cha yogi bhi. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. King Prithu spoke, "My dear great sages, auspiciousness personified, it is very difficult for even the mystic yogis to see you. Indeed, you are very rarely seen. I do not know what kind of pious activity I performed for you to grace me by appearing before me without difficulty." Report. When something uncommon happens in one's progressive spiritual life, it should be understood to be incurred by agyata sukriti or pious activities beyond one's knowledge. To see personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his pure devotee, is not an ordinary incident. When such things happen, they should be understood to be caused by previous pious activity. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.28, Yeshang tvantagatang papam jinanam punyakarmanam. One who was completely freed from all the resultant actions of sinful activities, and who is absorbed only in pious activities, can engage in devotional service. Although Maharaj Prithu's life was full of pious activities, he was wondering how his audience with the Kumaras happened. He could not imagine what kind of pious activities he had performed. This is a sign of humility on the part of King Prithu, whose life was so full of pious activities that even Lord Vishnu came to see him and predicted that the Kumaras would also come. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Madhakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what is the outstanding characteristic of Prithu Maharaj? His outstanding characteristic is his humility. This is to be noted, because this is required. If we actually want to become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, then we must develop this humility. So, how is his humility described here? He is so fortunate that Vishnu personally came and the Kumaras have personally come to see him. One cannot get the Lord's darshan very cheaply and easily. One cannot get the association of Krishna's pure devotee very cheaply and easily. It is only by previous pious activities that one can get the association of a pure devotee. So, Prithu Maharaj must have done so much pious activities to get Krishna, Vishnu's association, the Kumara's association. But he is not thinking, oh yes, I deserve this. Because I did so many pious activities, now here is Vishnu, here are the Kumaras, this is my, you know, just reward for my pious activities. No, it wasn't all like that. He was dumbfounded, he was amazed, how is it that they have come to me? In other words, he was feeling that he was unqualified. And he couldn't figure out, how is it that I've gotten this special mercy? So this is how one should feel, you see. Whatever facility Krishna has given you in, to engage in his service, one should not think, oh yes, I'm very qualified for this. One should rather feel, actually, I am most unqualified, wretched person. But somehow Krishna has blessed me with this wonderful facility. He's appeared before me in the form of a deity. He's appeared before me in the form of the spiritual master. He's appeared before me in the form of devotional service, the holy names, prasadam, Prabhupada's books. Krishna has so kindly manifested himself for me in so many wonderful ways that I don't deserve. That is the mood that enables one to actually advance in Krishna consciousness. To feel that I have been blessed with unlimited auspiciousness. Even though I'm completely unqualified. Rupa Goswami explains what should be the attitude. Well, actually, he explains his attitude. He said that I am simply trying to spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Even though I'm completely unfit to do so. Prabhupada says this should be the attitude of all the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, nobody should think, you know, I'm a very qualified preacher. I can lead a kirtan, devotees are enlivened. I can give a class and the devotees are enlivened. I know some verses. Now, one should never think that they're qualified. One should always feel that I am completely unfit and unqualified, but let me be an instrument in the hands of my spiritual master. So that he can utilize me for pushing forward this movement. When we agree to become an instrument in the hands of Guru and Krishna, then there is no limit to what we can accomplish for pushing for this movement. So we should always remember this humility of Prithu Maharaj, feeling himself very, very unqualified. I mentioned how Krishna has appeared in the form of the deity. Sometimes the neophyte doubts the deity. He thinks, how that could actually be God? I can see it's simply a statue. So how can we understand that that is not just a statue? That is God Himself appearing. In this connection, there is a very nice story. One time, many centuries ago in South India, there were two Brahmins going on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. One Brahmin was a very old man, he was very invalid, he couldn't walk very well. That was the method of going to Vrindavan in those days, you see. There was no airplane, there was no train, there was no car, no bicycles. So they would walk. They would walk to Vrindavan. So one Brahmin, he is a very old man, he couldn't walk very well, see. And the other, he was strong and healthy. So the young Brahmin was helping the old Brahmin. For days and weeks, he was helping this old Brahmin to get all the way to Vrindavan. Now, it just so happened, the old Brahmin is very wealthy man, you see. And the young Brahmin, he was a poor man. But treating the old Brahmin just like his father, the young Brahmin, very, very mercifully helped him get to Vrindavan. So you can imagine how grateful the old Brahmin was. That this young Brahmin has helped me get all the way. Now I'm here in Vrindavan, I'm having the darshan of the Gopal deity. He was feeling so grateful. If it hadn't been for this young Brahmin, I would not have the Lord's darshan. So he wanted to do something to show his gratitude for the young Brahmin. It just so happened the old Brahmin, he had a young, very beautiful daughter who was just the age for marriage. So in those days, it was not the days of dating and romance for marriage. The parents would give a suitable girl to a suitable boy. That was all. Actually, that system worked better than our modern day system of romance, you see. Now there's so many divorces, so many unwanted children, so many abortions. These problems didn't exist in the ancient Indian culture. But the girl would be given to a suitable boy by the parents, that now you take this, my daughter as your wife.
That's it.
The girl would be under the protection of the father. And then he would hand her over to a suitable boy who would take protection, give protection to her as husband. And then when the husband takes sannyas, he gives her to the care of the sons. In this way, the woman was always protected. She was never neglected like they are nowadays, you see. Always protected, never neglected. So anyway, the two Brahmins are sitting there in front of the one beautiful Gopal deity in Vrindavan. And the elder Brahmin was feeling so much gratitude in his heart. He said, "My dear Brahman, you so kindly helped me come all the way here to Vrindavan. So I want to pay you back for this kindness you have given me. Therefore, I will offer you my daughter in marriage." Now, in that village, there was a little bit material consciousness. The village they came from. Amongst the Brahmins, there was some division. If you're a rich Brahmin, you were considered to be in one class. And if you're a poor Brahmin, you're considered to be in a different class. Actually, such division is not bona fide. But that material vision was there in the village, you see. So the young Brahmin said, "No, my dear Brahmin, this will cause a great uproar in the village because I'm from a poor family and you're from a rich family. The village will be completely disturbed over this that you have offered me." "So you should not offer me your daughter in marriage." But the older Brahmin said, no, this is, you must accept this because you've taken such care of me. It doesn't matter rich or poor, you must accept my daughter in marriage." Now in India, even up till recent times, maybe even today in the villages, if there is some dispute, there's two people having an argument. They will go before the deity to, because nobody would lie in front of the deity, you see. So the elder Brahmin promised the younger Brahmin in front of the deity that, "I will give you my daughter in marriage." So this is a very heavy thing. Jishi Itai Gora Chandra Ki Jai Shishi Radha Namadar Ki Jai. The promise was made in front of the deities. So if a promise is made in front of the deities, you can never take it back. And just like oftentimes when we have initiation, we do it in front of the deities, because then it becomes more solemn. Of course, the fire itself actually becomes a deity. The initiation fire becomes a deity. Lord Vishnu appears in the form of the fire. I'd like to welcome Arunas back. I haven't seen him in a long time. Hare Krishna. So, the Brahmins then, they went back to the village. And when they got back there, the elder Brahmin told his wife and the family members, "I'm giving my daughter to this young Brahmin because he helped me so wonderfully all the way to Vrindavan." And sure enough, it was like a volcano erupted in that village. The wife threatened to commit suicide. The brother, he was an atheist. He went out to the public square and made all these lying propaganda against the young Brahmin. He said, "This young Brahmin is such a rascal. He went with my father Vrindavan and he gave him some drug to make him intoxicated. And now he is claiming that my father offered my sister to this young Brahmin." He was yelling and making a big ruckus in the marketplace, and everybody's wondering what's going on. It was a big, big thing, a big scandal in the village. Because normally they would never mix. The poor and the rich Brahmins would never mix. They were like two different castes. So it became a big, 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 big anxiety for that young Brahmin. He was not attached to the idea of marrying the girl. He was a pure devotee, actually. But because the promise had been made in front of the deities, the word cannot be broken, or it's a great offense. So he felt obliged to accept the girl that was offered to him. But the brother they were making all kinds of horrible accusations. It was a very bad scene in that village. So the young Brahmin, he made a deal with the brother of the girl. And everyone agreed to it, actually. That this promise was made in front of the deity. So it cannot be broken. If I can go to Vrindavan and bring that deity back to witness that this promise was made, will you accept this arrangement? This is how much faith the young Brahmin had. The deity could actually come and speak to the people and say that the promise had been made. The atheist brother immediately said yes, because he knows it's just a stone statue. A stone statue can't talk. Plus, it's a very, very big, heavy deity. There's no way these young Brahmin could ever get him back to our village all the way in South India. So he agreed to this arrangement. So the young Brahmin, he went back to Vrindavan. And he went in front of the deity. He said, "My dear Lord Gopal, in your presence, the elder Brahmin promised me that he would give me his daughter in marriage. But now he is trying to take back his promise because it is creating such an uproar in the village. So therefore, my dear Lord, I'm requesting that you kindly come back to the village with me and witness that this promise was made in your presence." And you know what happened? The deity said, "I'm a stone statue. I can't move." Now this young Brahmin, he was very clever, you see. The deity just said, "I'm a stone statue, I can't move. I can't come back to the village, I can't move." But the Brahmin said this. He said, "But my dear Lord, if you can talk to me, you can walk with me." So Prabhupada said, in this way, the young Brahmin defeated Krishna by logic.
Prabhupada said,
So the deity was defeated by logic, you see. Because normally the deity doesn't talk and he doesn't walk either, see. But now the deity has agreed to talk to the Brahman. So if he can move his mouth, he can also move his legs, you see. So the deity said, all right, I'll come. But on one condition, you will know that I am walking behind you because you will hear the sound of my ankle bells, ting, ting, ting. You must have faith that I am walking behind you just by hearing the sound of the ankle bell. But whatever you do, you can't turn around and look. Because if you turn around and look, I'm going to stop right there and I'm not going to go any further. So the young Brahmin said, all right. And he walked out of the temple. And sure enough, he could hear it, ting, ting, ting. He could hear those ankle bells. As he walked, he could hear the ankle bells, you see. So for days and weeks, he walked all the way from Vrindavan to South India. And whenever he began walking, he could always hear ting, ting, ting. And finally, he was getting so excited, he was almost to the village. And he was hearing Gopal behind him. He was so enlivened. The deity is coming to witness. And when he got just on the edge of the village, he couldn't hear the ankle bells anymore. There was no ting ting. He went, oh my God, what's happening? He got so in anxiety. What's going on? What's going on? I don't hear the ankle bells. He couldn't control himself. He turned around. And there was the deity standing there. A huge marble deity standing there. You see. But he knew the deity wouldn't go any further now because he turned around. So he went running into the village. Gopal has come! Gopal has come! Gopal has come! Everyone come. So the whole village came running to see. The deity of Gopal has come to witness. And the promise was made. You see. So it was arranged. Yes, that the family members agreed, and the marriage happened, and everyone lived happily there ever after. And they built a wonderful temple right there for that deity. And later on, one powerful king moved that deity to near Jagannath Puri. And that deity is still there today, Sakshi Gopal. Mataji and I went there for darshan. They gave Mataji the darshan. But they wouldn't let me have the darshan. Because I have white skin. And so unfortunately the Brahmins are not very transcendental now who take care of that deity. The one thing they did do is they harassed me for money. Even though they wouldn't leave me the darshan. But the point is that Krishna is not a statue. Krishna is a real person. And if our love becomes strong enough, Nitai and Gauranga, they will come off the altar and they will dance with us in the kirtan. We simply have to increase our love and our faith and dive unlimitedly deep into the sweet nectar of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, we can advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Taip, skaitimas supratau, kad visi keturi kumarai yra mahadžanai. Bet jeigu šitą sąrašą patikrinti, tai išėna, kad tik tai vienas 15 mahadžanų ir vienas tipa kumarai. Tai arba vienas, arba keturi klausimas. Ar vienas, ar keturi yra mahadžanai?
I understand that for kumaras they are mahadžanas, but we know that mahadžanas is only 11, and it is how it is, because if... also to count four kumaras, they are only one.
Oh, there's 12 mahajans, not 11. Oh, okay. The kumaras are such a tight-knit group. They're so close together, you see. They work as a team. It's not that one kumara does this thing and another kumara does that. They work tightly together as a team with tight cooperation. Therefore, they like to be counted as one. Because they have so much love for each other, they like to be counted as one. Yeah. Yeah.
Why that young Brahmana stopped to hear the ankle bells on the...
Why did he lose his faith?
Huh? The ankle bells stopped to...
Why did Gopal do that? Well, you'll have to go back to Gaudiya and ask Gopal why he did that. Who can know the mind of the Lord? Why did he do that? It's some pastime of the Lord, you see. Actually, everything Krishna does is to increase the bhakti of his devotees. So somehow or other, this was Gopal's plan to increase the love in the heart of that Brahmin. Question?
Is it very defined at what stage devotee can have some conversation or association with deity?
Of course, you can talk to Krishna right now by praying to Krishna. But when Krishna will talk with you, that's up to him. Sometimes even for a complete neophyte, Krishna appears. Krishna is not obliged by any, GBC policies. When he can appear to his devotee, you see. There was a simple woman who was carrying a bundle of sticks on her shoulder in the forest. And the burden was getting so heavy burden. She couldn't handle it anymore. She dropped the sticks on the forest ground. She went, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So Krishna appeared to her and said, yes. And she said, can you help me put the sticks back on my shoulder? So she was not a highly qualified devotee. You see, Krishna is free to reveal himself to anybody whenever he wants to. There's also, I may have told you, I tell you all this, we don't have time now, but I told you the story about the thief who wanted to steal Krishna's jewels. Yeah, you remember that, yeah. Krishna even appeared to that thief who simply wanted to steal his jewels. That was his only motive for finding Krishna. Where can I find that boy so I can become a millionaire overnight? So Krishna is not obliged by any sort of rules and regulations, you see. He can give you his darshan whenever he wants to. So therefore one should be very eager to have that darshan of Krishna. And you should know the way to qualify yourself. Not that you try to force God to come, or you try to gate crash your way into the spiritual world. Just try to do some very, very, very nice service that Krishna will be very pleased with you. And just like he came for the Kumaras, maybe he came for as Vishnu for Prithu, and the Kumaras also came. He can come for you too. Just have to do first class service, that's all. Just do it now. Think, well, let me do such first class service today that Krishna will be very happy to come and bless me by his darshan. And we pray like that actually. Jagannatha Shami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. You see, my dear Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. But Srila Bhakti Sanatana Sarasvati Thakur stated in this connection, do not try to force your way into see God. But you act in such a way that God will want to see you. So when God wants to see you, that's how you will see God. Not that I want to see God.
No.
You make him want to see you. And then you will see him. Next question.
There is said that Prithu Maharaja could receive darshan by his pious activities, but in Madhurya Kadambini it is said that bhakti does not depend on any pious activities.
Yes. Yes, sometimes pious activities, bhakti is described as a pious activity. There is material piety, and that is not qualified one. That's within the modes of nature, sattva-gun. But when you do devotional service, that is also a pious activity. That is spiritual piety. See, there's spiritual piety and material piety. There's a difference. If one does piety that qualifies one to have the darshan of Lord, that's not material piety. That means you've done tremendous bhakti, or the spiritual piety. You understand?
Yeah.
Next question. Yes.
Ir jas nesuprato. Nu, kokiu būdu jinai suprato?
Выберите мокты выше.
Нет, это не объяснение, мы здесь два мокты жмоны.
This is a question for Mataji Vishnu Priya.
You're the guru now.
And a couple days ago, when Brahmacharya asked how or about Krishna, that Krishna was hiding himself, Krishna was presenting him as a Godhead, but Lord Chaitanya, he hid himself as he said, claimed that he is a servant of God. And the translator didn't understand that question of Brahmacharya, and even you understood it in the Upanishad language, and comment on this, you explained it to Srila Gurudeva, and this Prabhu is asking, how did you do it? How did you do it?
Can I answer correctly, first thing?
So...
Did I answer correctly?
Ar jį teisingai atsakė klausimą?
Ta prasme, kaip jinai suprato lietuvių kalbą, nežinodama, kaip jinai
pasakė. How did you understand it?
Next question. All right, there's no more questions. We can stop here. Tonight I'll be lecturing in Vilnius. Anyone wants to catch my lecture there? What time?
6:30
tonight in Vilnius. So we thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai. Jai.